UCLA law professor Adam Winkler's new book is We the Corporations, How American Businesses Won Their Civil Rights. With cases pending before the Supreme Court right now that address the power companies and businesses have to assert their rights, we look at the subject this morning. Winkler shows how the fight by and for corporations to expand their rights has been going on since the founding of America, and that perhaps surprisingly, the Supreme Court has been friendly to this idea from its inception, pushing these rights forward without the broad public support that usually accompanies an expansion of rights for other groups, such as minorities, women, and the LGBTQ community. Adam Winkler is a professor at UCLA School of Law, where he specializes in American constitutional law. Again, the name of the book is We the Corporations, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Adam Winkler back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. A great pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what brought you to this idea of corporations and their civil rights?
Well, in recent years, the Supreme Court has ruled that business corporations have rights of free speech and religious liberty. And I sought to find out, how did corporations win our most fundamental rights? In school, we learn about civil rights and women's rights and states' rights even, but not corporate rights. And I was shocked to discover that, like women and minorities, corporations have been fighting for equal rights since America's earliest days. And they use those rights to try to overturn laws that regulate business and the economy.
Many people, of course, point to Citizens United as a landmark case on this issue. Where do you believe that it stands? Because you really make the point that a lot of this, as you just did, has been going on for a very long time.
Well, that's right. Citizens United and Hobby Lobby, a recent case that said corporations have religious freedom, are really just the tip of the iceberg, the most visible manifestations of a larger and largely hidden phenomenon, which is that corporations have been fighting for the rights that the Constitution grants to individuals since the earliest decades of America. And in fact, the first Supreme Court case on the rights of African Americans was not decided until 1857, whereas the first Supreme Court case on the rights of corporations was decided a half century earlier in 1809.
You talk about in the book bringing us back to the founding of this country. When the Constitution was being written, corporations, you say, had an influence in that process.
Well, that's right. Corporations did influence the Constitution. The Constitution, we call it a charter of liberty sometimes, and that idea of a charter comes from the old corporate charters that organized the colonies. Some of the original colonies that were in America were established as corporations, really as business corporations, and they had these written charters that would limit what the office holders could do. And that idea slowly, progressively becomes part of the idea of America's written constitution.
You mentioned a moment ago about the Supreme Court and going back for 200-some years of giving fundamental rights to businesses. Talk about some of the landmark cases that have happened over the years that really have been consistent in the sense of giving these corporations their rights.
Well, like I say, the first case was back in 1809, and it said corporations are covered by a clause in the Constitution that applies only to citizens. But the Supreme Court nonetheless said that corporations were covered too. And after the Civil War, corporations seek to gain the same rights under the 14th Amendment that were guaranteed originally for the newly freed slaves. In the era of the Great Trust, when Teddy Roosevelt tried to break the trust, corporations challenged those efforts by citing the Constitution's protections for criminal defendants and said they had those same rights against self-incrimination. And so the story really continues on up until today. And in more recent years, the court has expanded the rights of corporations to recognize them to have political freedom and religious liberty, too.
When you look at the Supreme Court and their decisions, who have been standout members of the court who have fought for the rights of corporations over our history?
Over the course of American history, we've seen some amazing and colorful justices fight for the rights of corporations. One of the most colorful was Justice Stephen Field after the Civil War. And Stephen Field was the only sitting justice ever to be arrested, and the charge was no less than murder. But he was innocent, of course, but he was determined to expand the rights of corporations and purposefully misled readers of the Supreme Court's opinions into what the Supreme Court had decided in previous cases, specifically so he could expand the rights of corporations. And great justices continue to influence the rights of corporations, including Chief Justice John Roberts, Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the same-sex marriage opinion, also wrote Citizens United.
Thurgood Marshall, you point out.
Thurgood Marshall, as a lawyer, was involved in the battle for rights for corporations back in the Civil Rights Day. After Brown versus Board of Education, segregationists in Alabama tried to put the NAACP out of business, and they used the fact that the NAACP was organized as a corporation to try to disband the company, the association. And the Supreme Court said, no, this is not a regular for-profit corporation. This is a special kind of membership association, the NAACP, that represents the views of its members and protected the NAACP. That precedent, however, was used in cases like Citizens United to say that business corporations are kind of like membership associations, and they have views that they can protect and voice in the marketplace too.
Let's stay on that for a moment, because you talk about this in the book, how corporations were innovators, really, in civil rights litigation, employing some of the same tactics and strategies that would be used later by the NAACP and even the gay rights movement.
That's right. Corporations have not only fought for ages to win constitutional protections, but they've been kind of first movers in a variety of ways. Long before the NAACP brought its cases to challenge segregation in schools, the Southern Pacific Railroad assembled an all-star team of lawyers and brought a series of what the lawyers called test cases, 60 in all, trying to expand the rights of corporations. Indeed, corporations have been behind some of the cases that breathed life into some of our most cherished rights. For instance, the freedom of the press. The earliest and most important cases were brought by newspaper corporations. And if corporations have no rights, then newspaper corporations have no rights either.
When you look at the fact that the Supreme Court and how the court has protected the rights of corporations for so long, you make the argument in the book that they've done it for longer, they've done it even better than for minority rights. How so, number one? And then the follow-up question, of course, being why?
Well, how so is we can see it in a variety of ways. As I mentioned earlier, the first Supreme Court case protecting the rights of corporations was decided long before the first comparable cases for African Americans or for women. And moreover, there has been some times in American history where, for instance, after the Civil War, Stephen Field, when he invigorated the 14th Amendment rights of corporations, even though the 14th Amendment was adopted to protect the newly freed slaves, in the first 50 years, the Supreme Court only heard 28 cases on the rights of African Americans. During that same time, the court heard 312 cases on the rights of business corporations. So corporations have been very adept at seizing progressive reforms in the law and using them to expand their own rights and to fight for capital.
So then the second follow-up question is why? Why do they do that?
Well, corporations seek rights for a very simple reason. They want to use those rights to overturn legislation. Corporations are among the most politically powerful and influential actors in American politics. And so usually the law favors them when it comes out of the legislature. However, occasionally they do lose. And when they do, they hire the best lawyers to make the most creative, novel arguments to assert their rights. And if those rights are protected, then they can overturn laws regulating business, laws that are adopted to protect consumers or investors or the public at large.
So when it comes to the corporations, just coming off of what you just said, it isn't as though they can do whatever they want, and yet it seems like they can do whatever they want.
Well, and the story of the corporate rights movement helps explain why corporations have been able to do what they want. You know, we often focus, especially in the wake of Citizens United, on the power of corporations over American democracy, their influence on elections or their ability to sway legislation. But the story of the corporate rights movement reminds us that corporations have also become incredibly powerful because they've really infiltrated the courts, too, and gained the same rights as individuals. So even when they lose in the legislature, they can win in court.
So what do you believe can be done? Should the Constitution be amended? should there are organizations like Common Cause and Public Citizen, they have proposed to end those corporate rights. Can that be done? Can that be legally done? And should it be done?
Well, 19 states have endorsed a constitutional amendment to declare that corporations have no rights under the Constitution. And while I sympathize with many of the supporters of such an amendment that they want to see better laws to protect against corporate influence in politics, nonetheless, I think it's a mistake to take away all rights for corporations. If corporations have no rights, the government could seize their buildings to build a freeway without paying just compensation. If corporations have no rights, then President Trump could censor the New York Times or CNN, both corporations. I think there is a way that we can approach this issue with nuance and balance, recognizing that corporations must have certain basic protections for their property rights, but they don't necessarily need the same protections of religious liberty and political influence that cases like Citizens United and Hobby Lobby have given them.
Why do you think those two cases, given that there have been so many other cases that have done things similar in our history, what is it about those cases that have raised the hackles of so many, especially on the left, with great concern as to our very democracy?
Well, I think the story is that over the course of American history, corporations have constantly pursued constitutional rights. And back about 100 years ago, the Supreme Court was in a notoriously business-friendly period known as the Lochner era. But even during that period, the court drew new boundaries and limits on the rights of corporations and said that corporations should have property rights, but not liberty rights. Didn't need the rights associated with personal conscience, political freedom, or bodily autonomy. What's, I think, become real controversial in recent years are these Supreme Court cases that extend more and more liberty rights to corporations. And it seems more unusual and odd to think about a corporation as having religious freedom. We all easily understand property rights for corporations, but it's hard for most of us to get our heads around liberty rights for corporations.
Do you believe any good can or has come from the Citizens United decision?
Well, Citizens United has certainly led a lot of people to refocus on the nature of our democracy and what does influence elections. We've also seen, I think sometimes the effect of Citizens United can be exaggerated. Many people feel that it's going to lead to a corporate takeover of American democracy, but it's really led to more spending by individuals, by private individuals, than by corporations. Corporations still, for the most part, have remained mostly on the sidelines of electoral politics. I don't know whether that they'll remain on those sidelines for long.
The name of the book is We the Corporations, How American Businesses Won Their Civil Rights. Adam Winkler is the author. Adam, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is We the Corporations, How American Businesses Won Their Civil Rights. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.